This is the Shore Trails podcast from the Eastern Shore Land Conservancy. My name is Owen Bailey, and I'm the Director of Land Use and Policy at ESLC. This is episode one, keynote, of our five-part trail series that brings you recorded audio from our regional trail workshop, Connecting Communities on the Eastern Shore. ESLC hosted this workshop in April 2022 with a focus on trail planning and creating a vision for a regional trail network throughout the Eastern Shore of Maryland. A connected trail network would create many benefits for both residents of the shore and visitors. Trails promote a healthier lifestyle, a great way to connect people to their communities, can spur economic development, create local tourism, provide equitable access to basic services, and help reduce the effects of climate change. Whichever one of these benefits is most important to you, we invite you to follow along and hear from our guest speakers and ask yourself, what would a trail network mean for you? In this episode, we will hear from our keynote speaker, David Brickley. Brickley is a former delegate from the state of Virginia, former director of Virginia Department of Conservation and Recreation. David has a deep love of trails and purchased a 16-mile abandoned railroad corridor to save it from development. And with support from a dedicated corps of volunteers, he helped transform the corridor into the Dahlgren Railroad Heritage Trail in King George County, Virginia. It is part of the Potomac Heritage National Scenic Trail. David is also a founder and now president emeritus of the September 11th National Memorial Trail Alliance, which developed with strong citizen and governmental support. Now on to the show for the vision for trails.
Well, it is a pleasure to be here. So what I thought I would do would talk about some of the experiences that I've seen over my many years. And I'm as old as dirt, probably almost as old as that. But I want to hopefully have you come away with a vision, with foresight, with realizing that just like I had to fight traffic this morning to get here, that there are always going to be obstacles. And you've got to realize there's a way to overcome a lot of those obstacles. So sit back. Enjoy yourself. I'm going to try to decompress as I talk from driving here. And anybody know where that is? Lake Louise in the Canada north of Banff. The general manager of the Canadian Pacific Railway back in 1886 said, since we can't export the scenery, we'll have to import the tourists. And with that thought, and with his imagination, he developed, as the general manager of the Canadian Pacific Railway, a whole series of beautiful historic lodges. This is, I think, the prettiest that they've got, and it's a wonderful place to visit. So that's Lake Louise behind there, and that's Banff. Or that's hotel itself. Somebody back with Machu Picchu. How many people have hiked the Inca Trail here? Okay, there we go. Somebody had an idea back those hundreds and hundreds of years ago to make this wonderful city, which was then right at the apex of the empire, the Inca Trail. But it took imagination. Anybody know where that is? Milford Track in New Zealand. Fantastic track. You've got to take at least a year, 2 years to be able to get on the list to go and hike it. And it ends up at the Milford Sound and in New Zealand, obviously. And it is just a wonderful hike. It took imagination and vision to be able to put that wonderful trail together. You may know where that is. East Coast. The coast-to-coast hike in England, 192 miles long, going from the Irish Sea to the North Sea. Because of the wind, you always want to go from west to east. Go through three national parks. National parks there are not like our national park. They basically are communities. There are towns and villages right in there. It is a marvelous, marvelous place to see. Lake Louise. Machu Picchu. New Zealand. Coast to coast in England. This is north of Lake Louise. It's the Icefield Expressway. It's about 900 miles. You can go from there up to, actually from Banff up to Jackson. They decided, pretty bridge there. You been what the bridge is for? The wildlife crossing. Exactly. Even grade them when you get there. Says tourism and recreation is important. So the first thing we've got to do is have a plan. And hopefully the plan works out well. Then we've got to have a hero. And I'm going to tell you right now, this to me, if you get nothing more out of this presentation, this is the slide, it's not very pretty, but it's the one that I want you to remember. Because what I found in my experience, I had the pleasure of serving in the state legislature for 22 years, a director of the Department of Conservation and Recreation of Virginia for 4 years before I just came in and did basically full-time Fullerell Trails and Greenways. And I found out if you want a project and you like the project, you've got to find somebody who is in a position to make that project happen. And I find, and it's in Virginia, it's in Carolina, it's in California, it's the same. So often, all of us in Trails and Greenways talk amongst ourselves and don't go and reach to that higher level, whoever that person might be. Might be the director of department, might be a commissioner, might be a state member of the General Assembly in Maryland. It might be the governor or lieutenant governor. Find that person and say, hey, here's an idea that I've got, or this is an idea that we've got, and we need your help, because that's how some of these things can happen. One of my favorite quotes right there is from Teddy Roosevelt. One characteristic more than any other is foresight. And that's important. And he should know. So this is Helen, Georgia. I met Helen, Georgia, because I was hiking the Appalachian Trail. And this is down there. Georgia's the southernmost state on the trail. And that's what it looked like in 1969. Southern dead town, basically one street, nothing happened. This is 2009. This is what it looks like now. Somebody had the foresight to say, look, we're dying. We've got to find a way to revive our community. And so this had to be a lot of work. All of you in the local government, and I served, I was deputy county executive before I got in the legislature in Princeton County, Virginia. They said, we're going to make a requirement that when you build a structure, it's going to have an alpine theme to it. And so that's what they did. Think how hard that would be in your own locality to get that passed. But they did it. And when they did it, they found all the tourism buses are coming from Florida because you got the flatlands down in Florida. This is the next state north. And I've talked to the town manager there and some of the council members. They love what has happened. This is the Boulder. My son worked out there for 2 years doing tourism. And the Boulder started a number of years ago, a lot of years ago. It now has this one race. Last year, they had 49,000 runners. They paid $25 a piece to sign up as a participant. And it is a huge success to the community, to the Boulder itself. And people love it. And they come back year after year after year. And if they can do it there, New York City bike lanes, go through the East Coast Greenway and the September 11th trail. I mean, if you've been to, I used to work in New York City for way back when I had hair. And this, I can't believe, would even be possible. And that's what they did to be able to transform that city to go and talk about and use and utilize bike and pedestrian ways. CNO Canal, how many people, this is, now we're getting in Maryland here. So how many people been there? Okay, great. That's where it goes. From Washington up to Cumberland, Maryland. I'm on the Federal Commission for the CNO Canal. One guy, one hero. Back in the 50s, cars started, everybody was getting a car, you know, the economy after World War II, and I mean, really going. And so they had this old derelict CNO Canal, complete state of disrepair, closed down, you know, decades before. And the National Park Service said, we've got a great idea. You know what that idea was? Highway. A highway. Exactly. We're going to make it a highway. Who cares about the canal anymore? And one hero, Justice Douglas, said, no. And so he got, in 1954, oh, let me backtrack. The editor of the Washington Post said, we think the idea of a highway for the CNO is a great idea. So they editorialized it. And so you know how you had the National Park Service for it? You had the major newspaper for it? And you had one guy saying, you know, there's got to be a different way. And so he caught up and he talked with the editor and the staff of the Washington Post and said, let's take a hike. And they took that hike in 1954. And you know the rest of the story. The Washington Post then reversed his position, came out in favor of trying to renovate the CNO Canal. And that's what they did. And now it is as pretty as can be. It always needs work. It's a work in progress. Every time you have a storm, we've got problems with flooding and things like that. But it's there, and no one would ever think about having it as a highway rather than this 184-mile trail to Cumberland, Maryland. And tourism up at Cumberland is just outstanding. And then you go from there, if you've done it seamlessly at Cumberland, you go and get on the Great Allegheny Passage. Great Allegheny Passage then goes all the way up to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I don't have a picture of this is good enough because there's Pittsburgh in the background. Here's a story about this. One of the people, Linda McKenna Box from Pennsylvania, maybe some of you know her, said, we've got to turn this into a beautiful greenway and trail along our rivers. Well, the first fight they had was you've got the Pittsburgh Steelers and you've got U.S. Steel up there. And they said, well, this would be okay. But we want to have our corporate headquarters or we want to have our practice field right next to the river. And then you can have your trail behind our buildings. Happens all the time, right? Every time you've got a subdivision rezoning, at least in Virginia, that's what you're fighting against. Tom Murphy, who was the mayor of Pittsburgh, said, over my dead body. And he had arguments and fights. He tells about when he had the final eighth of a trail opening at the end, about how he's in a restaurant and Rune Arledge is there from the Pittsburgh Steelers and having a shouting match. But Murphy, because he was convinced it was the right thing to do, did it. So now you've got the river, you've got all kinds of trails, and you've got, there's a hotel there, you've got restaurants and everything else, and you've got the rivers, you've got the trail, and then you've got all the amenities. And then the corporate headquarters and everything else are next in line. And that's the way it does. But it took somebody to be able to do it. Lee's Vegas State Park. This is down in Prince William County, which is where I reside. I'm the Potomac River. It is just south of Mount Vernon. When I was in the legislature, a friend of mine contacted me and said, hey, you know, he was a member of the Lee family, going way back when, to the 1600s, and said, this beautiful place would be great on the Potomac River for a state park. And up in Northern Virginia, we don't have a whole lot of state parks. And so I said, you know, it's a good idea. So I wrote, as a state delegate, a letter to the Commissioner of State Parks and said, Commissioner, what do you think? We think it'd be great. He writes back, Delegate Brickley, thanks, but no thanks. It's only 500 acres, so it's too small for a state park. I take 5 acres in Northern Virginia for a state park, but only 500 acres. And it's got this railroad running through it. And it does have a road running through it. It goes from Washington down to Richmond. It's a CSX now. It used to be the RFMP. And so I said, I think you're wrong. And I put a bill in as a delegate to make it a state park. It passed 1978. We had a signing ceremony. Governor John Daunt was the governor. The guy that the governor's looking at, the little gentleman on the far left, his name is Daniel K. Ludwig. This is 1978. He's now obviously passed away by now. He was the richest man in the world at that time. Unbelievable story. Come back here and give you a whole lecture on that. One of his people that worked for him was a guy named George Hartzog. Anybody know who George Hartzog is? If you're with the National Park Service, he's one of the gods. He was the director of the National Park Service under LBJ. And he, an attorney, and he then ended up working for Ludwig. I happen to know him. So I contacted him and said, hey, look, you've got properties over the world, but this one, take a look at it, and let's see whether we can make it a state park. He liked the idea. He sold Ludwig on it. And the guy right here with hair, that was me. That's when I had hair, even not much back then. And we made it a state park. And now it's the third most visited state park in Virginia right now, right on the Potomac River. Really great to see. Just north of that is the Neabsco Creek that flows right into the Potomac River. It's part of the Potomac Heritage National Scenic Trail. But our great planners in Prince William County, Virginia, because we all make mistakes too, regardless of who we are, said, well, we've got an idea for the Potomac Heritage National Scenic Trail. We're going to have it go up along Route 1 by the 7-Eleven up there and then come on back down the other side of the creek. Now, I thought, you know, if you're going on Potomac Heritage National Scenic Trail, do you really want to be on Route 1? So I brought it up. I said, let's go out and take a look at it. This is the wrong place to do for so many reasons. And I said, let's see whether we could build a boardwalk across there. That was 2010. That's me with a hat on. This is what it looks like now. Opened in 2020, three quarters of a mile long. It's a beautiful boardwalk, making all kinds of national awards. And I got the idea from seeing the Pochuck Boardwalk in New Jersey, which you go over if you're hiking the Appalachian Trail. And I said, you know, we could do that here. And it's beautiful. And now we're tying it right into a bunch of other projects. This is the project that Owen mentioned, the Dog River Heritage Trail. This is in King George County. King George County is just on the other side of the Route 301 bridge in Maryland. When I was director, some citizens from King George contacted me and said, we've got this abandoned railroad corridor. We think it'd make a great rail to trail. I had my staff go up there. They said, this is great. I looked at myself. Yes, I said, fine. So I squirreled away the money to go ahead and and acquire it from the state and make it part of our state park system. The local governing body didn't like it at all. Have you ever had that problem where not my backyard type of thing? Well, this goes back because this road, this railroad was made by the military back in U.S. government, back in the World War II, to be able to have a quick way to get materials, supplies, and weapons from basically the Fredericksburg RFMP railroad line over to the Dahlgren military base, which sometimes when you're in Maryland, you can hear the guns testing over there. And then after the Korean War, they decided they didn't want it. They didn't need it anymore. So they abandoned it. They offered to sell it to one person and no one wanted to buy it. So it just went. And finally, many years later, this developer bought it. He sold off then the last mile right at the top right there and was going to cut it off and sell other pieces. And I said, you know, this is not right. So when I left office, I had a couple bucks left over and I bought it to protect it. I still own it, and I'm not taking any pride in that because my goal was 3 years later to be able to get the state to buy it. In fact, I've offered right to sell it at cost. That's been my standing offer from when I first bought it in 2006. So then the Governor McAuliffe, said, this is a great idea. Brickley, thank you. We're going to go ahead and do it. Put the legislation in. Now the county loved the idea. They came out with a resolution. They had a board of supervisors. We've got board of supervisors. We've got commissioners in Maryland. We've got supervisors. The chair of the board, major campaign was to make this part of the state park. And she won. And the first thing they did, the first item on their agenda was to vote to have unanimously state support of acquiring this trail. Great. And the governor put it in. Oh, it's a done deal. The state senator from there didn't like the idea and he killed the bill. And because the way it was fashioned under Virginia law, even though the governor tried to override, to veto his amendment to not have it, he couldn't get it overridden. So I still to this day end up owning it, but we have a great group of people. It's wonderful. They love it. It's a scenic and the flora and fauna is just amazing there. We have six races there a year. It's the community loves it. And it's important. And it's something that we need to do. And sooner or later, the state will own it and it will be part of our state park system. Then, anybody know where that is? Well, I guess you do. It's the Tomagura Bridge. It's the Nice Middleton Bridge. This is important because at the southern tip of King George County, that's where 301 is. So you go from King George County and 301, crossing the 301, the Nice Middleton Bridge, to get over to Charles County, Maryland. The governor, your wonderful governor, decided that he wanted to go ahead and have a new bridge, and we needed a new bridge. And so those of us in the biking and ped community said, you know, what's going to happen to the old bridge? Because the new bridge ended up having no bike ped safety features on it at all. It'd be terrible. But MTA, rather than MDOT, controlled this. And they said, no, we don't want to do it. And we don't think you should save it. So what we've got now is this is the current Nice Bridge. And they're going to tear that down after the new bridge on the left is completed. It'll be completed sometime next year. We are all trying feverishly on the Virginia side and on the Maryland side to go ahead and find a way to save it. If you can visualize, this would be the longest bike-ped bridge in the nation. Without the truck traffic and car traffic it'll last 100 years. We could rarely do a partnership with Virginia. I had a partnership with, when I was with the state, with Kentucky, where we literally operate a beautiful park system together right on the Kentucky-Virginia line. And it's marvelous. It works out great. So why not have a partnership with Virginia and Maryland? Well, Virginia's government is afraid to step on Maryland's toes because we're waiting for an offer from Maryland, but Maryland's not going to give us an offer. And if this opportunity, because of a lack of foresight, comes to pass and they tear down the old bridge, I think it's just a travesty. I really do. I've got to tell you about my September 11th trail. I was the, again, the director of the National, or of the Department of Conservation and Recreation in Virginia in 2001. We had a conference set for Arlington County, two blocks south of the Pentagon, for September the 15th through the 19th. It was going to be a big conference. It was going to be a multi-state conference. We had Maryland as one of the lead partners, and Pennsylvania and Virginia. We had about 1,200 people signed up. We had people coming in from Germany and Austria and everything else. And you know what happened 4 days before the conference was to start? We had a conference call then with the different governor's offices. And fortunately, the vast majority agreed to go ahead with the conference. And I said at the end, at the conference, maybe some of you were there, I don't know. I said, we've got to find a way to merge our love of trails and greenways with this horrific tragedy that happened just days before. And so with that, we founded the September 11th National Memorial Trail Alliance. We said, looked at a map and said, you know, we've got to find a way to connect the three 9/11 sites. And that's what we did. And it's a 1,300-mile trail. I'm going to be on a bike ride starting on June the 1st. We're going to be doing the 1,300-mile. I've got an electric bike now, by the way. I finally broke down. So if I'm going to go 1,300 miles on a bike, I'd rather than 3 miles, I better get an electric bike. So we're looking forward to doing that, to do the whole. It's marvelous. It really is. And the states and local government have been so supportive. Our congressman put legislation in to make it, to provide federal designation for it with the National Park Service. It was a tough fight. We got it passed. It ended up passing unanimously in both the House and the Senate. And on October the 13th of this past year, President Biden signed the federal legislation into law. So get your people out there, get your troops that are big thinkers and working together and march to where you want to go, because it can happen if you all work together and have that vision. And when you do it, you're going to be able to fly into the sky and have some really spectacular projects that will help all of us, your kids, your grandkids, future generations. And that's the beauty of us being in trails and greenways, because what we do now isn't just for us. That really isn't for us. It's for those future generations, and saying, hey, this is what these kids, these grandkids, these future kids 100 years down the road are going to see and witness. They're never going to know your name. They're never going to know my name. It doesn't make a difference at all. But the point is, that project will be there for the livability and the enjoyment and the benefit of future generations. Thanks for allowing me to be here today.
You've been listening to the Shore Trails podcast from the Eastern Shore Land Conservancy. If you have enjoyed this episode, please be sure to check out other episodes in our series. And if you want to support the work we do at ESLC, please visit our website at eslc.org and click the donate button. You can find more ESLC content on social media and on our blog. And please share with us your vision for a regional trail network. Thank you for joining us.